Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 448, Anomaly.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And I'm back from vacation and a little sick, but I'm fine.
Yep.
Don't worry. I sound a little under the weather, but I actually feel great. So
yeah. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And welcome back from your trip.
I'm 50.
Yeah, you sure are.
That's very old.
Just like your wife.
No. My wife is in fact 41. Mm-hmm. I will only briefly talk about this, but we visited a couple of Star Trek things of note. While we were on the road, which was a lot of fun. San Francisco doesn't count, but I did stop in San Francisco, and I saw the Golden Gate Bridge. So, I always
think,
well,
did you drive over the
bridge? This time I did not. I have done in the past, though. It's
where they put all the solar panels.
The solar panels. That's a Birdemic thing.
Oh. I assumed it was a Homestar Runner thing.
No. That would be funny, but no.
Mm. I strong bet I put in all your solar panels.
But we did. My good pal Bob, one of my oldest and dearest friends, who regular guest on the show, took me to Vasquez Rocks, the famous site of Captain Kirk fighting the Gorn.
That's so cool.
It was fantastic, and I thought, not to be an ungrateful friend, but this will be a fun day out with Bob, but it's just a rock. But no, it's actually super cool there.
I've seen the pictures, and I'm like, yeah, that's the fucking rock right there. That's the rock.
Yeah, but also it's just stuff like if you just went there, if you're into outdoor, not necessarily hiking, but just interesting it's just cool looking.
I will tell you this: I have always wanted to go out to a desert, so that is a thing I have never done, and that would be cool.
You get that experience there without actually. Going out into the desert part, you're still kind of in LA, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And I heard a fun fact from, we had a meal after with a few people who were, everyone in LA is a little connected to showbiz.
Sure.
Someone mentioned that the noteworthy thing about Vasquez Rocks is it's within the 30-mile radius of the studio where union crew can go. So.
Oh. That's cool.
Probably why they went there. It's just the furthest place they could go without having to pay the union more or whatever. So, yeah. Well, they obeyed the rules at least, so that's good.
Yeah. We got a pretty good desert out here.
Yeah. It was it has a very alien planet look to it. It's just a weird sort of formation with the cool thing about it is there's different rocks from different eras, which you don't usually get. So everything's different colors. And you're like, why aren't the rocks not all the same? It's because these ones are 50,000 years old, and these are 2 million years old, and they're just next to each other, and it just looks really neat.
This is very cool.
Yeah, it is. Oh. I did another Star Trek thing, and I can't think of what it is off the top of my head. But anyway.
I don't know what to tell you.
I did a...
Oh, you saw all the stars. I saw...
We did the Chinese
stars.
Theater, and that was just taking pictures of the sidewalk for a while. I'm not even sure why I did that. I'm glad I went there. It was a fun thing to see, but... I didn't need to document every star I looked at.
I got to assume that's a real LA thing where you're like, ooh, those stars. I better take some pictures. And then you're like, why did I take all those pictures? I don't care about Warren Beatty.
Actual big movie stars, not the ones who, not people who are in Star Trek, but, real grown up movie stars. Who
Walter has received a star.
Yeah, Walter got a star. No, I'm talking about the in front of the theater itself where people actually sign their names in the concrete and there's unusual things. Those are somewhat interesting. But the stars themselves are all kind of the same. But
The skies are empty today, Al, because all the stars are in the road.
That is true. It's to celebrate my 50th birthday. We did a long road trip from Seattle all the way down to Southern California. Saw a bunch of friends. The real celebration was the friends I made along the way.
Yeah.
And now I'm back here and we're watching Disco and I didn't even have a bad time doing that.
No, it was a perfectly cromulent episode of Disco.
I would say B-, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about right.
If you disagree, that's fine. But
that's about what I was thinking.
All right. Well, tell me. Maggie, first of all, you gave me an amazing gift that meant a very great deal to me, so I appreciate mm-hmm. that. But also, the other gift you gave me was you volunteered to take the summary 2 weeks in a row because I yep. was on the road. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
And so please the summary tell the people.
The summary itself is terrible, and I put no work into it whatsoever, but you're welcome.
Oh, I tune you out during this part. I'm kidding. I'm sure it's great.
There was an anomaly.
Please the tell end. Us. No, I see a whole paragraph here.
Got to be at least one joke in here.
Of course.
All right. Anomaly. The second one, because I found out that Enterprise had an episode also called Anomaly.
Okay, so, let's, like, Enterprise sucked, but also Star Trek, you can't do this. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, come on. So go ahead.
All right. Everyone is extremely upset about Book's home planet being exploded, especially Book, which I guess makes sense, actually. The Federation, the Navarre, and also Saru all get together to figure out what's going on. And also Saru sticks around to come back to Disco. Thank God, says Tilly, releasing her fingers from the con armrests and relaxing for the first time in 5 months. I do not have enough training for this. Discussion leads to a theory about possibly two giant black holes fucking their way through space eating shit. Discovery is able to track down the titular anomaly and approaches it to gather some data. I assume much like gold coins in Mario, and when you get 100, Book's dead nephew gets a 1-up. Unfortunately, Disco can't actually approach the anomaly, but Book's Mighty Morphin Power Ship can. Michael is hesitant to send him in considering that his entire family and home just exploded earlier this morning. But she does eventually send him in along with the holographic Stamets for company, because if anyone should be there for a deeply depressed man, it's notorious people person Paul. I'm actually sort of an empath Stamets. They hook the ship up to the umbilicus so that they can reel the ship back to Disco in an emergency, and also so that they can send Book the movie Kitten with a Whip. Stuff goes bad almost immediately as gravity cuts out. Book's ship is battered with explosions, and also Book keeps seeing his dead nephew running around making an imaginary mess. That's why I never had imaginary kids. Stamets attempts to give Book a pep talk, fails instantly, and calls Michael, who does a much better job. Eventually, Book is able to safely surf the ship out of the anomaly with a hold full to bursting with important data, so thank God. Back on the ship, Tilly discovers that the anomaly has turned around and started heading towards them, and I sit quietly with my fingers crossed, hoping that they bring the Doomsday Machine back.
I will tell you, not mm-hmm. specifically the Doomsday Machine, but I think it's going to scratch a lot of the itches that you have for that.
That's very interesting. So I sort of feel like this is the big thing yes. for the season. And yeah. I'm really excited that it's like a giant fucking everything eating thing. Because
yes.
that's my favorite thing for Star Trek to fight, it turns out.
I know it is. This is a gift to you. Mm-hmm. This is actually my good thing because we did our notes separately because I'm, you know, like I said, I was on vacation and we didn't yeah. like I didn't set up the document and blah, 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 whatever. But you took the very good thing about this episode and as is your right as a mm-hmm. first, you know, first noter. But I will take even two episodes in. It's very clear they are getting so much better at the one thing I hated the most about the show, which is they were so bad at telling a season long story. And for the first yes. time, they're doing it. Like mm-hmm. the first episode was kind of setting the stage and like, here's where everyone is after what happened before. And also let's not talk about a lot of that because it was real stupid.
Yeah.
But you know, is Saru still back on Kaminar? Is he going to go back to Starfleet? Mm-hmm. What's up with Book and his family? Turns out that didn't go very well, but you know, like, and Michael's settling in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Michael settling into to being captain or what? And it's all good. And then the big thing happens, which mm-hmm. was the inciting incident, as they say. And then
yeah.
this episode, they investigate that. And I know I'm not going to spoil the specifics because I think you're going to have a fun time mm-hmm. finding this out. But like, this is going to lead them to the next thing and the next thing. And it's not just going to be a tedious mystery box bullshit. It escalates and it changes as we go. Mm-hmm. And it's for the first time, they're telling a story where it's like, oh, yeah, you're using this form. And not just stretching it out because you have to.
Yeah.
But actually telling a story where I want to find out what happens next week. And good job.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked, honestly. Like,
and they gave most of the characters something to do mm-hmm. while still doing that, which they also had a hard time with. So that's good.
Yeah. I like, sorry, you know, it's a lot of solving science mysteries, which is kind of one of my favorite things on Star Trek. You know,
well, that's what they're for.
Yeah.
If you do a specific, like, look. Deep Space Nine had a whole thing where there was a war, and I get mm-hmm. it. You pause the science because you got to handle the war thing. But, like, mm. when Star Trek is sort of at its default, it's guys exploring. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So
the show's called Discovery. Get out there and discovery some things, damn it.
Well, yes, but it's, you know, it's named after the shuttle. They don't have to do what it says.
It's named after the channel.
Oh, God.
Well, that channel Shark Week is here.
That channel. Oh, no, I'm just picturing King Shark with a Starfleet uniform.
Yep. I'm picturing a Bellage in a Starfleet uniform.
Oh, much, much, much better.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. No, it's I really appreciate the storytelling is finally where it needs to be, you know, four seasons in.
Yeah.
And that's why it bummed me out when I heard they got canceled, or not canceled, but that they stopped at five seasons. It's like, you were just getting good.
No, this is what we do now. We do five seasons and then we make a new Star Trek show. And we're just constantly sort of making new Star Trek shows and rotating them.
I don't entirely hate that, but I feel like it could be managed a little bit better. But this is not the time for that.
So. No.
Like, just, this like, this is a good supplemental talk, I think, because this is like the whole franchise.
I mean, like, this is just how TV is now, which we've talked about plenty of times.
Yeah, but these guys, there's not a lot. Like, there's a few, but, you know, everyone wants the Disney thing where you've got a brand like Marvel or Star Wars that you can, like, keep pumping shit out. But most companies don't have something that valuable, but Star Trek kind of is. Like, it's one of the few that actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like they could do a little better than no. But again, we could really drill into this during a supplemental sometime. And this is not like, we should talk about this show because there's a lot, lot going on.
Yes.
I'd like to hear your bad thing because I have some things. But let's hear what you got to say first.
So we get more of Gray this week. And I realize that the more
just because this character is so forgettable at times, this is the ghost boyfriend for Adira.
Yeah, this is Ghost Boyfriend. We get a lot into his, like, his new body and stuff. And the more I see of Gray, the less I care about Gray. Like, I'm not super excited to see him get into a new body so that he can, I guess, become a member of the cast. Like, I think Adira is more interesting when he's not around, honestly.
I will absolutely give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adira, like, there was one beat that I liked with Adira where Tilly, dealing with her own shit, kind of lashed out.
Yeah.
And had to back off. Like, hey, like Hugh had to say, hey, he didn't say this, but what I heard was, Tilly, this was you 3 years ago. Be nice.
Yeah, come on.
And he was 100% right. Once again, Hugh continues his like upward climb into characters I really enjoy. I didn't like him for a while, but I really like him, what they're doing with him.
I have really enjoyed Hugh since he came back from the dead with a personality.
Since the mushrooms brought him back to life, sure.
Yep. Since he crawled out of the grave.
The mushroom grave. Don't forget.
The mushroom grave.
You got to make sure you hit that really weird note. Like, it's a mushroom grave. Mushroom gravy.
He crawled out of a can of mushroom soup.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I would like to... Okay, first of all... I didn't used to like Hugh because of the same thing you're talking about with Gray, where basically he was just there to be Stamets' boyfriend.
Yeah.
And now he's really teased out to his own person, and I like him a great deal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's Gray's problem right now.
They both just
become about each other.
Yeah. If he's going to stick around, they need to give him more to do. Like, he can't just be like the queer guy who hangs out with Adira, you know, which is what he feels like every time he shows up now.
Okay, here's the big thing I wanted to talk about, and I was I'm kind of tiptoeing around this because I don't know if you caught it, because it was such a fucking, if you looked down to take a note like we do, if you tuned out your hearing for just a moment, did you catch that Gray is trans?
Oh, I already figured that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you figured it out. But did the show tell you that?
That is true. They did say it's real fucking quick, but he does say he transitioned.
Yeah. But you've got trans spider sense, so that doesn't count.
That's true.
Like, you spot your own. And like, you know, I admire that. Like, I wish I had that. But on the other hand, if that's your thing, I don't want to encroach. But like,
my trans spider sense is tingling.
Yeah. Your trans dar. That doesn't work. I don't fucking know. But yeah, you like, no, I feel like you could probably spot like what they're coded as trans. I get that.
Yeah.
And I might miss some of those cues, but like, I got trans friends, but I don't, like, I can't tell you what you and Nate
you
have
do?
In common
Name
other
one.
Than that you're my friends. I don't fucking know. Oh, they're all Canadian. I guess all trans people are Canadian? That's, yeah, okay.
Not all trans know. People are Canadian, but all Canadian people are trans, so.
Oh, weird. Oh, is that yeah? the transitive property? Is that what you
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You're welcome.
God damn it.
Vacation has not dulled my sharp wit. Oh, God. No, I, like, I didn't catch any reference to this before because maybe I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. And this episode, I had to back it up because I thought, wait a minute, did he say transitioning was easy, but this was hard or something yeah. along those lines? Like, oh, yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And that's all that he said.
Yeah.
I don't need you to do an entire episode about this and shine an awkward TV's trying to talk about this. Let's turn the chair yeah. backwards and teach the people about trans. But there's a happy medium there.
Mm-hmm.
And mentioning it in one quick line of dialogue, maybe people don't know that you call it transitioning if they're not super familiar with trans people.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. know what other people... I know because I know you and Nate and a couple other people, but, like, I don't... Like, you're trying to get your mainstream Star Trek people yeah. to buy into this. You need to hold their hand for a moment.
Mm.
There's a difference no. between this and... We were talking about Star Trek's first bisexual in our... Like, we had a little chat going with our regular guest, and Devlin mm. said, oh, no, if... I just want to credit this joke because this was excellent, and it was Devlin's. They said... Discovery's first bisexual be named Bisexual Jones. I can't remember what else they said. I don't want to fuck this up. But like, but they're like, yeah, they would beat you liberally about the head and neck with
oh,
it,
yeah.
and they were absolutely right. But then this is the other thing. It's like I transitioned. So anyway, like, wait, mm-hmm. What did you just say?
Hang on, sorry, back it up.
What did you say that was easily edited out for the foreign
mm-hmm.
markets?
Mm-hmm. Weird.
It just, but okay. So, but with that in mind, there's a yeah. couple of things I want to discuss with you, the expert,
mm-hmm.
or certainly of the two of us, the expert.
That's definitely true.
Like, I know you're learning from other people, but like...
I've really only been at this for a few years.
Yes, I know, but you've done some reading, whereas what I've done is listen to my friends and like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't always trust you. So I'm kidding.
Nor should you. I will turn on you in a second.
Just because we call them Maggie facts now doesn't make them any more true. Okay. First of all, we have talked about this. We talked about this when we put Endeavor together. You can't make the weird aliens sort of weird alien thing that they're queer or whatever.
Yeah.
So making a Trill trans feels like cheating.
I mean... This is the thing again, like this is the thing, one of the things with Gray is that
yes.
he's got all the stuff.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, again, this is the first, if they had a bunch and mm-hmm. this was just another, oh, another trans person. Oh, wow, this yeah. show loves trans people. No, we've got one that's kind of stealth at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone can tell that's a little gay boy of some kind. I know
oh,
that.
Yeah.
But I did not pick up on that until just now. Like, I mean, this episode, I mean.
Oh, sure.
The specificness of the queerness. I just knew, again, little gay boy of some kind.
Sure.
But, like, again, a Trill, like, is very, like, the hosts are various genders over their lifetime. So, it's cheating a little. That's like saying Jadzia Dax was trans because
yeah.
she was Curzon before. And no. But yes, but no, but yes.
Which,
you know.
I mean, was the representation we got back in the 90s, but like, you know, now we can have like a real one.
Hearing the writers talk, most of them didn't mean for it. Like, they're happy that it's there. And mm-hmm. I think you just saw them writing sensitive characters talking about this situation and said, oh, I wish my friends were like that.
Yeah.
Which, that it still works, but it wasn't really one for one kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? It just feels like I wish they'd made it something else. And I don't know. I guess that's it. I just
sure.
I wanted to run that by you. Like that is weird, right? Like it is.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Like I don't want to be the one standing up and saying, "Could you be better with the trans people?"
Please.
When you're right here, but
yeah.
it seems like they need to be.
Yeah. I just like I am delighted that we have a trans like that we have a regular
oh, yes.
trans character on the show. I just
yes.
like so far you have not given me anything. like to latch onto that's interesting.
Well, and saying, okay, here's our NB and our our trans character, and they're off in a subplot you don't care about. Well,
yeah, and the other thing is that like they're also like the non-binary character is like in a family with the gay couple. Like it really,
That's true.
It feels like it's just like this, and here are our queers in a little bucket where we can keep them safe. You know,
I mean, four queers is like more queers than all other Star Trek combined has ever had.
Yeah. And that's great,
we gotta give them that. We gotta give them props for that. But you're right. They're all just in one unit.
Yeah.
Like, you could give them B plots that are separate from the rest of the crew for the rest of the series if you wanted.
And I mean, like, this gets into a little bit of my good thing too. Like, Stamets tends to sort of keep to his, like, to his little, his buddies. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why your good thing was so good, because he
didn't. Exactly.
But
yeah,
we'll get into that in a minute. I don't want to get off this just yet, if that's okay.
But like it definitely feels like all of everyone's over here, separate.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And
I don't know. I also would be willing to just accept, because this show has gone so hard on finally acknowledging queerness, that most everyone here is queer. But that might also be a little of our approach to Endeavor rubbing off. Like
fair.
But also that makes Michael the one sort of like square. She's the captain. She's she's straight. She's cool. Yep. She's got a pride flag and all that. But like,
just hanging
out. She'll march with you. Uh-huh. But she's with her boyfriend. Come on.
Yeah. Really, I'm the best ally in all of Starfleet.
Well, Michael would say
that. I'm just like, God, that might be true, honestly.
Michael would say that is the thing. Mm-hmm. I bet Admiral Vance is way better, because he's probably discreet about it.
Mm-hmm. No, she would have to have like a real long monologue that opened the episode and then closed the episode.
Yep.
Webster's Dictionary defines queerness as...
Uh-huh.
Yes, Michael, go on. Tell me more.
As, that's the word we use to make fun of you. That was a bad Homer. I'm sick. I'm sorry.
Hang on. I'll come back in.
Yeah, no. I'll come back when my snot goes away.
Here, let me set you up. You're with us now.
Bit Mitch.
I could do this Homer much
There
better.
You go. Let's go out for chocolate frosty milkshakes, boy.
Boy. All right, let's get into your good thing, because, again, this is what I had before you, like, I realized you had already gotten there. It's very good.
So, Stamets and Book spend a lot of the episode together, and I really like that. It's like I mentioned earlier, Stamets only likes about three people, and Book doesn't really work with anyone who isn't Michael. So, bringing these two together was super interesting to me. These are two guys who just do not have much in common.
Well, here's the thing. They started out with, I didn't put this together, but they are both the Borg Drive guys.
Yes.
So they've got that, and then what they bond over, which I'm sure you're going to talk about in a sec.
Yeah.
But I want to point out that Stamets only had two of those people, and last season his arc was basically, Adira's cool tool, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I will let Adira into my tiny little circle, but nobody else. And so it's cool kind of watching him, like, all right, maybe one more.
I mean, the thing is, it's not out of character for the character that he has set up. But, like, you know, we're in the fourth season. Let's maybe spread our wings a little bit.
Also, as a guy who sometimes comes off a bit crotchety and unapproachable, but I'm really trying not to be, I find that very relatable. Like,
sure.
No, I'm actually nice. I don't mean to keep saying mean things. I'm sorry. I actually really like you. I just like to say mean things also. That's all. I like, there's a moment where Tilly snaps at Adira and she said, I'm sorry, I'm Stamets-ing right now.
Yeah.
And it was like, very good.
It's like, oh God, this is so embarrassing. I was being a real prick right then.
Yeah. You know, we call it appalling. I was being a real Paul. I'm sorry.
Stamets is like, you guys say that when you're pissed off at each other? Good.
I feel like she did a double take and I'm sorry, Hugh. No, no, you're 100% right.
Yep.
You got his number. I'm going to tell him this tonight. Anyway, please continue.
We basically get the two of them on the ship together. On the ship together.
Yeah.
Stamets
also,
in,
I like this. I like this weird tether, like, hologram thing, too. That was a neat
idea. The umbilicus. Yes. Very cool.
It's a literal tether. It's a string, which I thought was a little on the nose. Like, calling it a tether is fine, but they actually tied a string to it. So, all right, fine, whatever.
There's something just very like, yeah, we're going to put a rope on you in case we have to yank you out real quick.
And we're like, we're walking the dog. You got a long lead, but we're still, you know,
And Book's in a mood because of the whole, like, genocide of his planet.
Yeah, losing an entire planet, rebonding with his close relatives and losing them, but also everyone else.
Someone's a bit of a grumpy puss today, I think.
Mm-hmm. Woke up on the wrong side of his bed exploded. Like, he's,
Michael's just like, if only I could figure out what's wrong with him.
Yeah, well, I mean... I didn't do anything, so it's probably fine, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not about me, so it can't be about anything else.
Yeah, what's the issue?
Yeah. All right,
Book
anyway.
Up, Book. Let's see that smile.
Mm-hmm. He'd be prettier if he smiled more.
Anyway.
That's not true. He would not be prettier. There's no way to make him prettier.
It's impossible to make that man prettier. That man is gorgeous.
He spent this whole episode moping and crying, and he was still just like, oh, what a perfect specimen of
humanity. It's like, God, I
want to
hug that. I want to hug that beautiful man.
Well, see, Maggie, some of us swing differently and want to do a lot more than hug, but please continue.
And listen, I hope you have a great time.
Yeah, well, look, there's no chance.
you don't know that.
He's fictional.
No.
I'm not saying he's out of my league. I'm saying he doesn't exist.
Listen, who knows what the future could bring?
That's fair. All right. Anyway, sorry. I keep cutting you off. I do apologize.
So anyway, it leads to a little bit of bickering, which is not surprising because Stamets. But in the end, I really like it. Like, we get into Paul talking about how bitter he feels from last season when he can't save his family and he gets shot out the airlock. And I said specifically, it's really important to me that they come back to that because it fucking shattered him, you know?
Yeah, like, and they did. And I knew when I saw that, it's like, oh, Maggie's going to like this. They actually acknowledged it.
Yeah. Like, I love that. Like, he's like, I couldn't do anything to help my family. Like, these are the most important people on the planet for me. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're clearly the only thing I give a shit about.
Yeah. Well, he likes his work and that's it.
But like, you know, well, you got to swoop in and do that. I don't get to do that. Like, it's a really cool, like, thing to have the character do.
Well, and then they have that in common, like that. And the fact that he had lost Hugh for a while, like this, like I lost one person close to me. You've lost a lot more, but like I've recently recovered from that. So like I get it a little bit, you know,
but I mean, they both get to say I've lost everything. Like Stamets is everything is a little bit smaller, but it's still the same amount of like,
well, that's because Stamets only allowed his world to contain one person at that point. So he still lost everything. Book was empathetic to a planet, so he lost everything, but you know,
Stamets is just like, well, on the scale really we're equal, so you know,
it's proportionate,
buddy. If you need anything, I'm here for you. I mean, not really, I'm being holographically transmitted in with
way back there for you, but there's a moment where he says, I'm not like Book says, please return to the ship, it's unsafe for you. He says, no, I can't. And I don't think they ever actually explicitly said he was lying and just wanted to stick around, but I'm certain that's what it was.
It definitely felt like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I also like the bit where like Book has like a complete sort of like breakdown.
Oh, they handle that perfectly.
Oh, yeah. And I really like he basically is like, I'm staying out here. We're collecting the data. And he has this moment where he's just like, you're not even here. I'm alone here. And I love that. So like that is so. Like, that is so perfectly his depression right there.
But it's also, like, a lot of people deal with it. Like, he doesn't, like, Michael's like, well, he's not angry, and he's not crying, he's not anything. Yeah. Look, Michael, some people shut down.
Yeah.
And some people, Book responds to this kind of thing the way I kind of do, which is, what work is there I can do? What can I do to make myself useful and stay distracted is how he handles it. And that's, I found that very relatable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then once he did and had a moment to stop and breathe, he broke down because of course you got to process it, but
you need
maybe not immediately.
A planet exploded, Michael. Like,
give him a minute. He's got to wrap his head around that. It's a lot.
I really like to, but we don't really have time for that. Just we really need to get back to like my whole thing, you know.
But again, they've done a good job of tying together this character who we all like, his personal thing, but also this, it ties into the season arc. It doesn't feel like last season and previous seasons, they've just sort of tacked this stuff on. And
yeah.
And also this new non-Starfleet character who's the captain's boyfriend is dealing with something separate. No, it's it's part of the plot, so he's got a reason to stick around.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I'm really enjoying it, you know?
Yep. I seem to recall, I said this last week, I seem to recall him going a little stupid after a while, like a little Star Trek Moby Dick wants vengeance, but I might be wrong about that.
Okay, that's what we're doing? All right.
I don't remember. I might have that wrong, but I think I was vibing with Book for a while, and then he lost me, but I might remember wrong, so we'll see.
All right. Well, hopefully. We've seen the Trek Ahab thing done a lot and better, so... Like,
well, one of the things I love about this season is they really genuinely go some places that the series either never has or has rarely. Like, there's not a ton of, and this episode in particular, I thought was going to go to a lot of very cliched places and didn't.
Sure,
there was a lot. Like, you will be stunned to hear this: the action sequences did not bore me.
Oh wow! Okay,
because I cared about what was happening. They were depicted well, but it was also like I was engaged. It wasn't like a foregone conclusion. There's going to be a fight and our guys are going to win or they're going to lose, but eventually they will. Like, I don't care because I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But here's like, even having seen it, I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're still like, I don't know what the whole this thing is. And I'm excited to learn more about it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's cool. Like, we don't always get that.
No, the last several seasons, like they tell us, like the first season, we did not know because it was the first new Star Trek in years. And we're like, we'll go wherever you tell us. But second season, we're like Red Angel. Eh. Mm-hmm. And third season is like, well, the Burn. Eh. And Emerald Chain. Yeah. And this season, hopefully it doesn't have a color because you already did red and green. Do something else.
Yeah.
But, you know. But yeah, I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to come back real quick to this whole weird idea of ghost boyfriend whose name I always forget.
Gray.
Gray, thank you.
Another color.
Yes, that's true. incorporating, which I still think they never mentioned last season and just feels weird.
I'm going to get to incorporate. All right.
This is an echo of a Trill host that gets to have a body. Why didn't we bring Jadzia back that way?
Yeah, please.
Which I don't understand. I don't care that much. Yeah. Like, don't give me a bunch of pseudoscience. It just feels like a weird, I don't know, a reason to stretch that plot line out.
Yeah.
But I do like, it's a bit of continuity, like it's a clever bit of continuity where they say, yeah, actually the technology exists to put your consciousness in a living android. Mm-hmm. Someone worked this out years ago and they said Soong. I'm like, if we see another fucking Soong. But no, what they did was tie into the end of Picard season one.
Yeah.
And we didn't love that particular development, but
it's in universe. Like we said, the stuff is in universe now. They might as well use it.
Yeah, what they said was, oh, this show that I think at this point had just aired, like maybe they were on abysmal season two by this point, but but it wasn't that old. Like, I like that the writing teams are working with each other. They're not just referencing Next Gen or original series. They're also like, no, what's going on in Picard? We could fold that right into this.
Yeah,
like,
it's all part of Star Trek.
Whenever the shows work together, like, I did not care for the Lower Decks Strange New Worlds crossover, but at least it felt like all these new Star Trek shows live in the same world and they're all separate things. So that part of it was good.
Mm.
Boy, I didn't like it, though.
Boy, neither did I.
We'll get to that someday. But, you know, it was a nice little bit of, like, yeah, and it Soong came up with this weird, like, people tried for years because, of course, they want to crack immortality. It was real fucking hard. But also, it's 1,000 years later, so we got it now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I did a good thing. Did I do a bad thing?
I don't know. Did you?
No, because I didn't write anything down.
I don't see one here.
And I don't remember.
All right.
I mean,
that's fine.
I'm definitely going to say fucking throwing a trans character in under your breath. Oh, and by the way, I'm transgender. So anyway.
As long as you have no follow-up questions whatsoever.
Nope.
They definitely hint at it. They did this They did this last season where, like, it's not even that they hinted at it. They dropped something that feels like it's just bait for the queers. And...
Yeah.
Oh, weird, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, I just invented a thing that exists.
I was gonna. Yeah.
Oh, right. There's a name for that on TV Tropes.
Yep. Well, it predates that, but yeah.
Yeah. But no, so last season there's a bit where like Hugh's talking to Gray, or at least I guess where Hugh thinks Gray is.
Right,
and
right.
Is like, we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that you're seen. And then he turns to the camera and winks, and a little rainbow appears in the background. And see, this,
go ahead.
The same thing kind of happens here, where Gray's like, you know, I got that ward or the yeah, it's a ward or something on his hand, and he's like, I want that removed. Oh, yes. And
I didn't hate that, because that's how the transitioning thing came up. And
yeah,
like, oh, I get to have exactly the body I want. I don't want that. And this is easier than transitioning. And like,
that's the thing though. Culp returns to the camera again and goes, there's no reason you can't have exactly the body you want. And the rainbow goes by in the background again.
See, this is your trans radar that I don't like, you know, look, we don't need to get into my deal. This is not the show to talk about.
This is not the post-atomic Al's deal.
Well, I mean, it could be for a minute, mm-hmm. but I don't know which flag I am, but I am queer.
Sure.
Take my word for it. I've kissed boys mm-hmm. and more, and just take my word for it. I have a little queer cred here, not as much mm-hmm. as Maggie, but some. the thing is, I didn't pick up on any of this stuff. I didn't, you're way more dialed into all that, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Like it, and I mean, it might just be me. Like,
no,
but it definitely
now that
felt
you
like
say
it's...
it, now that you say it, it's like, no shit, you're right. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd spotted that, because that is that sucks. Like, again, this show's doing the best Star Trek mm-hmm. ever has, but that doesn't mean they can just stop. Like
that's the thing. I want them to stop giving me the thumbs up in the camera and give these characters things to do, you know?
Yes.
And
exactly.
Adira being here is huge. Like
Adira,
I love that.
And the thing about Adira is immensely useful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and an interesting person.
Yeah.
Their whole thing isn't just, hey, I'm non-binary, use they mm-hmm. pronouns, please. It's also, I'm kind of new Tilly, but not exactly the same character, but I am like the new young, like prodigy kind of character. Mm-hmm. And also I'm a little awkward, but again, not like Tilly, in my own different ways.
Yeah. But
fine. Good.
And look, Hugh and Paul also great. Love those characters.
Yep.
Like I just said how much Culber's grown on me.
Yes.
Recently. But like if, and I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, like I've not seen any of this season.
I remember being a little annoyed with this plot line, but I don't remember what specifically happens either.
But if Gray is sticking around, and if we're giving him like actual trans stuff to deal, like if he's actually going to be, we're going to be talking about this in regards to his synth body, you need to give him something to do other than I'm Adira's boyfriend and I'm like, you know.
But
like
also,
there's got to be something else there.
Right. I agree with you. But also, their whole character can't be the trans one either. Like,
no.
It's a hard needle to thread.
No, that's the thing. And I appreciate them saying that he is actually a trans character. Like, that's great. But
yeah, but again, very easily edited out because mm-hmm. I thought I missed it.
Yeah. Fucking Disney thing where they've got the 80th first gay character.
I'm sure that's like why they made it such an easy, like it is literally one line of dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like you could very easily cut that right out.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was in there, but oh God. But again, it's a hard line to walk because you don't want to mm-hmm. make them all about that either. But also these are professional television writers. Fucking figure it out, man.
Yeah. Fucking like, come on.
We could, and we're not getting paid to do it.
No. All I want is if this character is sticking around, you got to give him something to do.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I don't know what his job would be if he stuck around. And not that you have to have a job to be useful, but it is Star Trek, and it is about a crew of people working toward a common goal. So, yes, you kind of do need a job in this.
I mean, like, you know, he could easily be, like, supporting character who only shows up occasionally during the season. You know, like, Keiko O'Brien. You know?
That's the example I was going to pull, too. Yeah, like some characters, their partners, you see them occasionally, and that's it. Or, like, Cassidy Yates or somebody. That's fine.
Exactly.
Or somebody from one of the other shows, I guess.
Like, I am absolutely fine with that.
Yeah.
You know?
This is my boyfriend I come home to every night.
Yeah.
That's okay.
They
don't need to be a main character, but Adira should be.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so on the subject of Hugh.
Yes.
Tilly's dealing with some shit. Tilly blames herself for that dude on the station that died last week. And that makes total sense. And she needs to deal with that, and she knows that, and she's doing it. Like, they're definitely growing this character well.
Mm-hmm.
She knows she's gone through some shit. She knows she hasn't dealt with it in a healthy way, and she's trying to. And
mm-hmm.
she snaps at someone, then apologizes, and then goes off to the side and says, I think I need some help with this.
Yeah.
I'm like, perfect. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opposite of what Book's doing.
But, yeah.
Like, it's good. But everyone processes in their own way.
I need therapy. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Like, she's already fucked up that someone put her completely in charge and she fucked it real bad, which,
uh-huh.
like, look, Tilly, you are a perfect creature and it's not mm-hmm. your fault.
No.
Like, everyone.
Sometimes people
like,
die. I know yeah. Michael doesn't believe that, but it's true.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. All of that being said, though, she says to Dr. Hugh Culber, the mm-hmm. chief medical officer of the USS Discovery.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to you about this in an official capacity in a counseling session. And he's like, sure, I'd love to see you. The chief medical officer, who is a mm-hmm. surgeon, who's in charge of all the other doctors, who regularly yep. goes on away missions, is also the counselor.
Yep.
What the fuck?
He is a medical doctor in the way that Reed Richards is a scientist.
He is all doctors.
He is everything.
And now I'm willing to suspend some Star Trek disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
It's the future. And okay, maybe all doctors are sort of like in the future can be specialists. Like
yeah.
maybe he can do dental work. Maybe he sure. can fix your eyes. But mm-hmm. he just doesn't have the time in a day to do all of the things that I know he's responsible for.
It's like, oh, you want to sit down with me for an hour a week? When yes. am I going to have that hour? Stuff is exploding on this ship constantly.
Plus, if he regularly provides counseling, it can't just be for her, which means he's got to do that with a lot of people. That's yeah. a lot of schedule. But yeah. again, he, as chief medical officer, is in charge of the other doctors who we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to manage that. He's got to do actual doctoring.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a lot of shit to do. And he goes on away missions.
Yeah. I get the idea of, like, if the idea is Tilly doesn't know that starships come with therapists now, and that's just the thing, that's one thing. But if she's just like, you need to be my therapist, and he's like, cool, that's a thing I can definitely do. That's weird. Don't do that.
There's ways to do it where it's like, you know, we have a counselor, but I just haven't clicked with them. It hasn't worked
yeah.
for me, and I find your bedside manner much more comforting. Do you mind?
Yeah.
And he would say, that's not usually, like, I didn't study that in school, but you know what? Yes. For you,
yes.
I like you, Tilly. I'll help you out.
Yeah.
That would be okay. Or I would also have accepted if this happened before they jumped to the future.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see counselors on starships in those days, in the original series days.
Yeah.
We could say, no, the doctor had to do all that shit, and mm-hmm. it's rough. And that's why Counselor Troy had a job later, because they realized, oh, no, this is a separate job.
Bones.
Can you imagine Bones? Yeah. Bones being that guy.
Just hands you a bottle of scotch and says, good luck.
Actually, you know what? In complete fairness,
mm-hmm.
most of the time we saw Bones, he was ribbing his friend Jim or griping at Spock.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lovely gentleman to everyone else.
That, you know what? That's true.
Like, you got to think about that. We just mostly saw him with Jim and Spock,
but he was actually
really sweet to everybody else.
Yep.
He might have been a great counselor.
He was also weirdly nice to Spock when Jim isn't around.
That's true. It's like he does it for Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I should watch the series again. The good ones.
One of the reasons I like the Tholian web so much is like they put that shit aside and they're like, oh, we got to handle this, don't we? Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's switch out of performing for Jim mode and plan his funeral, I guess.
It's just like, what the fuck do we act like when he's not here? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's my personality?
We're friends, right?
Yeah.
We're friends, right? Because I like being around you, but I don't say nice things to you.
Yeah. I mean, that's my relationship with a lot of people, if I'm being honest.
I know. But he was a big sweetie. But anyway, mm-hmm. yeah, the point is, Hugh Culber has a lot on his plate already, Tilly.
Mm-hmm.
You do need help, but maybe bother someone else with this.
Also, like, let's be real. Living with Paul Stamets cannot be the easiest thing in the world.
Oh, of course not.
Good God.
You talking about? Look. You said this. You half-assed this summary. I beg to differ. This is one of your better summaries.
Thank you.
Because you're saying I'm actually sort of an empath. I fucking lost it in that one. You got me a couple times, but that was a particularly good one. All right. Is there much else?
Let's see here.
I feel like we've gotten into most of things that jumped out at me.
We got a good look at Saru's new Dracula trophy, which I appreciate.
Oh, yeah. One of the things I love about the new uniforms is the red ones in particular sort of evoke the movie era red uniforms. I noticed that too. The stuff that clips on. I don't know if they're medals or what, but like they're accessories to the uniform sort of up in the upper left. Yes, upper left. Saru gets one for stuff from Kaminar, which is cool.
It's basically his version of Worf's sash, but like I like it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. No, and it integrates into the uniform better than that did. That looked like we will give you this concession because of your culture, but this looks like the uniform was designed to let you have stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Which I like.
And I like it. Yeah, me too. They did that thing that Star Trek has done before that I find baffling, which is, I was your boss. No, you could be my boss for a while.
Uh-huh.
What?
All right. Okay. Weird.
That's not look, I don't want to be, guy, because I was never in the military. I was just a defense contractor. But that's not how the military works. You don't say, today I'm captain. Tomorrow you can be captain. That's not how it works.
We switch off. It's the only way to be fair.
It's like going to your job and doing that with your manager. That's not a thing.
That would be very strange.
Yes. So is this.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't act like it's strange. The only concession they make to that is that nobody wants to use his rank, which is captain.
Yep.
Because that would be confusing. So they start calling him Mr. Saru, which I thought they were just doing a Mr. Spock thing.
That was my thought, too.
That's why they did it,
Yeah. My last thing is, this is terrible, but like, I would hate to not mention it because it makes me laugh. There's a bit in it where Michael's talking to Book and she goes, "You good, Book?" And I go, "The only good book is the Bible, Michael."
That's the real good news. I was wondering if this is a new dead nephew to make you delighted.
Oh, I hope so. I've already, talked about that one a little bit.
Well, yes, but I mean specifically Book losing his, like, you know, he's burned in a fire now too. Is that is it just Renee or is it all
nephews? No. His whole planet burned down.
Yes. Is that funny?
Oh yeah.
Is that a joke to you, Maggie?
Yes. It's a very funny joke. Also, his name is Leto, the guy from Dune.
Oh, see, I'd think Jared Leto, so you know, much better.
That I care less about. Shut up, Jared Leto.
I don't want to think about that guy. Can you blow him up at a planet and keep the kid alive?
Oh god, I would love that.
Yeah.
Shut up, Morbius, from the movie Morbius.
You know what? I don't think people gave that movie a fair shot. We should really convince the studio that it deserves another run in the theaters.
Al, I absolutely agree. And if you're listening to this studio, whichever studio, Sony, I assume, is...
Yes, it is.
We think you should give Morbius another shot and definitely make Morbius 2.
Oh, 100%. Like
Morbius.
Like, we don't usually use this platform to like mobilize people or whatever. We should absolutely all the Post-Atomic Horror listeners should get behind like a petition or something to make Sony do that for sure.
We should use this platform to mobilize people.
I'm not gonna top that. All right. Anything else?
That's everything.
Very well. Well, next week I will write the summary, and I'll do it again the following week, just because, you know.
No, thank you.
It's called Choose to Live. I don't know what that means.
It means choose to live.
But choose to live. Why not?
Uh-huh.
Oh, one other thing I did want to mention. I did like the idea of Hologram Stamets. Book says, he says, "Can I pet Grudge?" And Book says, "No, Grudge hates hollows because Grudge can't smell you." And that's exactly how a cat would react. That was a nice little detail I never would have thought of, but it
made
perfect
sense.
No, I
like that a lot.
Yeah. It's like, of course that's how it would work.
Mm-hmm.
But it never occurred to me.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're a picture of a person, but that's not their primary sense. The cat's like, what the fuck is this thing?
Why don't you smell like anything?
And she is a queen, by the way.
Look, no one's arguing that she is not a queen.
Okay. Just in case.
Yeah. No, look, I know. I'm on your side. And I guess her side.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a considerable side. I'm not fat shaming. She's a queen, but I'm just acknowledging she's a large creature.
Look, that's a large cat.
Yep. All right. I suppose that's all for this time.
Yeah.
The website is everpostatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail.com. We are reviewing Lower Decks. You can hear that exclusively. It's a sclusy, which is a thing that Amanda hates hearing, so I'm saying
please don't. It makes my teeth hurt.
It's a sclusy for people who donate a dollar or more to our Patreon at patreon.com/algar.
Oh, man. I think I found a sclusy in my drain pipe one time. Fucking nasty.
I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See ya, folks.
Sclusy.
Ah.
The Post-Atomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.